There was a piece in 1664 by the British minister Richard Baxter called A Christian Directory. Notes on Baxter. He believed slavery was helpful for African people. He even said there were voluntary slaves, as in Africans who wanted to be slaves, so that they could be baptized. Voluntary slaves? Richard Baxter was clearly out of his mind. There was also the work by the great English philosopher John Locke. Notes on Locke in regards to African people. He believed that the most unblemished, purest, perfect minds belonged to whites, which basically meant Africans had dirty brains. And by the Italian philosopher Lucilio Vanini. Notes on Vanini. He believed Africans were born of a different Adam and had a different creation story. Of course, this would mean they were a different species. It was kind of like saying, or to him, proving that Africans weren't actually human. Like they were maybe animals or monsters or aliens, but not human, at least not like whites, and therefore didn't have to be treated as such. This theory, which is called polygenesis, broke the race conversation wide open. It took Zurara's initial benevolent master mess and put it in bold, like Africans went from savages to savages, which revved up the necessity for Christian conversion and civilizing. Pause. I know we've been going on and on about the people working to justify slavery, but it's important, very important, to note that there were also people all along the way who stood up and fought against these ridiculously racist ideas with abolitionist ideas. And in this particular case, the case of Vanini's theory of polygenesis, a group of Mennonites in Germantown, Pennsylvania, rose up. The Mennonites were a Christian denomination from the German and Dutch-speaking areas of Central Europe. During the 16th and early 17th centuries, Orthodox authorities were killing them for their religious beliefs. Mennonites didn't want to leave behind one place of oppression to build another in America, so they circulated an anti-slavery petition on April 18th, 1688, denouncing oppression due to skin color by equating it with oppression due to religion. Both oppressions were wrong. This petition, the 1688 Germantown Petition Against Slavery, was the first piece of writing that was anti-racist, word check, among European settlers in colonial America. But whenever people rise up against bad things tend to get worse. You know the old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get racist, or something like that. So all that anti-racist talk coming from the Mennonites was shut down because slaveholders didn't like their business talked about like it was wrong, because they needed their slaves, because their slaves made them money. It's all really quite simple. Now, there's an obvious backdrop we need to discuss, the subject of our first grade Color in the Lines cornucopia worksheets, the misinterpreted and misrepresented owners of this terrain, the Native Americans. All this is happening on their land, a land that was taken from them forcefully, claimed and owned by Europeans running from their homelands, afraid for their lives. It's kind of like the kid who gets beat up every day at school, comes home crying to his mother, and she decides to take him to a new school. And guess what he does when he gets to the new school? He pretends like he wasn't just on the receiving end of a boot sole and instead becomes the most annoying tough guy in the world. And the Native Americans were sick of the tough-acting, arrogant new kid. So, fight!